Krishna and Balaram are milking the cows, and the cows are enjoying the touch of the Lord. So we have, you know, Nrisingadev touching Prahlad, Dhruva being touched, Lord Chaitanya embracing Sanatana Goswami, him touching Vijay, the earth, getting the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, Govardhan getting the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, Mother Yasoda or the other gopis kissing Krishna, the cowherd boys running to touch Krishna first. And when Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes prema, and he describes how each of our senses are enlivened by touching the Lord. So here we have Kara, her hands, but it could also be the devotee is delighted by the Lord's beauty, by seeing the Lord's beauty, by hearing the Lord's voice, by smelling the Lord's fragrance, by tasting the Lord, by touching the Lord, all of the individual senses interacting with the senses of the Lord. And the Lord wants us to enjoy an interaction with his senses, just like we like being the source of pleasure for someone that we love. And then, of course, the devotees also get pleasure touching the other devotees. We have King Ambarish, who's described as touching or engaging all of his senses in the service of the Lord, and specifically his sense of touch is in touching the bodies of the other devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in talking about how to serve the great devotees in his commentary to Mantra 7 of the Srimana Shiksha, talks about one way we serve the great devotees is through embraces. And then, of course, we have today's verse about Archie and Prithu. We have the gopis in the forest when Krishna leaves the Rasa dance. They're reenacting the Lord's pastimes, and in doing so, of course, they are touching each other. I was thinking about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy playing in the water like children. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of two brahmanas from South India, Korma and Vasudev, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, they were embracing each other and crying. Madhavendra Puri, who embraces Ishwara Puri and blesses him. Of course, we have many examples of devotees touching each other's feet in respect, blessing each other, touching their head, and so forth. And this touch of the body of the devotees, it gives great pleasure, as we're finding in today's verse. So when we're in touch with the Lord, literally in terms of seeing the Lord, smelling the Lord, hearing the Lord, tasting the Lord, we can forget the miseries of this world. I think this is described after the killing of Bakasura, that as each of the devotees were embracing the Lord after he killed Bakasura, they forgot all the miseries of life. It just went away. You know, we're expecting this to happen with material sense enjoyment. One is expecting that when you're eating good food or, you know, having a sexual relationship or you're in a garden of wonderful flowers, that you'll forget the miseries of the world. But as Krishna explains, this sparsaja bhoga, the material happiness by touch, it's actually dukkha yoni. It brings us, and we've all experienced, it brings us only suffering. So we want to switch. It's not that we want to stop enjoying. I was hearing Prabhupada say this morning, it's not that we want to stop enjoying. We want to enjoy in Krishna consciousness. So here Archie is experiences in service to her husband, who is a Vaishnava, and beyond that a Shaktivesh avatar, that even though the external conditions of her service are really not pleasant, and she was a queen in ancient times, so the amount of enjoyment, servants, you know, facilities must have been incredible compared to our enjoyment today. And here she is lying on the ground in the forest and just eating whatever edible fruits and roots and flowers and leaves she can find, and doing, you know, simple menial service to her husband. And she's so happy because of this contact with the devotees. So this is where we should be getting our happiness. And when we get our happiness in that way, then we really forget our suffering. And our so-called suffering, like Bhaktivinoda says, that the burdens I take up in service to you are a source of great pleasure to me. Not due to pride, like the motive passion, but because it's wonderful to love. You know, Krishna tells the gopis that be satisfied with your own love for me. Na paryaham, I cannot repay you Find satisfaction in your own love. I think we all have some idea of this, where just the act of giving is so satisfying. Whether or not we get reciprocation, whether or not we get acknowledgement, when we just give to someone we love, often if we don't get acknowledgement, it's more satisfying. It's kind of a funny thing. So what to speak of when we're giving to Krishna, who is, after all, the self of the self. And then we experience this great happiness. So I want to just look very briefly. I didn't want to focus on this for the class, but I wanted to look very briefly at Srila Prabhupada's discussion of women in the ashrams. This is the concept of varnashram, and we can look at women in the varnas, we can look at women in the ashrams. So before a girl gets married, a girl is not born married. So before a girl gets married, she is going to be getting an education, she's going to be training, getting training. Prabhupada talks here about how a girl will be trained to be a chaste wife, just like the man is going to be trained to be a responsible husband. And she's also going to be trained according to her varna, because in the Shastra, marriages between husband and wife of the same varna are very important. So she's going to get a training in how to be a good wife. I mean, I find it fascinating today in modern Western society that training, sexual education, is usually just about how to avoid pregnancy and disease. Now, really comprehensive sexual education would be how to have a healthy pregnancy and a healthy birth, and how to be a good partner to your spouse. That's really the kind of sexual education that we need. So in Vedic times, people were trained how to have a happy and stable marriage, and how to be good parents, and how to be responsible. And then in marriage, the woman is the assistant to the husband. Prabhupada says psychologically, a man wants to be in a superior position, and the woman recognizes that. Just like psychologically, the woman always wants to be seen as very beautiful and attractive, and the man has to recognize that. So there's the psychology, the male-female, which are generalities. They're generalities. Not all women are exactly the same, or all men are exactly the same. But in general, a man wants to be seen as a hero, and a woman wants to be seen as attractive. So the woman is serving the husband as a hero, and we should note that her service to him isn't just like that of a domestic servant who's cooking, cleaning, sewing, taking care of the children. For that, until very recently, most women in the world hired a servant or more. You know, the concept that the wife has to do all the domestic duties is really quite a recent one, probably started in the 1950s. But still, in many parts of the world, the wife doesn't have to do all the domestic duties. There's servants, there's extended family. So she knows how to do all the domestic duties, but it's not necessarily her main job, because the woman also assists her husband in his varna. Like Prabhupada talks about an ideal family where the husband, wife, and children are all making pots and selling them. Or we find the gopis crossing the Yamuna to sell their dairy products. Right? So the women were engaged in helping the husband with his varna. One of the reasons that having compatibility of varna is important. People who think that women have no career, they're just not reading the Shastra. Women didn't have a career separate from home, but neither did men. Janaka Pandit said, happy is the man who doesn't have to leave home to go to work. And then when the husband takes up the vanaprastha life, so does the wife. In this case, the husband and wife are going together to the forest, and she's serving him in the forest. In Srila Prabhupada's case, Prabhupada took vanaprastha separate from his wife. So his wife would lead an austere life at home. If the husband becomes a vanaprastha, the wife has to become a vanaprastha. The wife cannot stay a grihastha if the husband is not a grihastha. It doesn't make any logical sense. So the woman then becomes a renunciate. And if the man fully takes up sannyas life, which not all men, even in Vedic society, did, then the woman also becomes, as Prabhupada's describing Vishnu Priya Devi here in this purport, she also takes up a kind of sannyas. Prabhupada wrote, I think it was a letter to Govindadasi, that Vishnu Priya was more than a sannyasi. We don't find that many sannyasis living as austerely as Vishnu Priya was living. And that women whose husbands have died or whose husbands have taken sannyas, they can become more than sannyasis. And of course we find that some women never married, like Gangamata Goswamini, who never married, and just like some men never married, and she went immediately to the renounced ashrams. So the Varnashram system applies to all civilized human beings, and not just the males, it also applies to the females. And there are certainly many indications in our Shastra, I mean, in the Bhagavatam, of women living in the different ashrams, of being students, of being married, of being retired, and of being renounced. And, of course, our dharma and our austerities are a little different. So the austerities of a brahmachari are a little different than the austerities of a grihastha, which are a little different than the austerities of a vanaprastha, which are a little different than the austerities of a sannyasi. And the austerities of a brahmana, you know, when one is in the grihastha ashram, which is the only time the varnas are applicable, the austerities of a brahmana are also different from the austerities of a shudra, the austerities of a vaishya. We should also note, as a little side note, that when one does austerities, one takes a vata dharma nishtaya, when one is fixed in the vows of one's dharma, and that dharma fits. If I best function as a grihastha, or I best function as a renunciate, then that dharma fits me, or if I best function as a vaishya. And when I do the vows of my own dharma, my swa-dharma, that also helps to make the austerities more pleasant. In fact, in one sense, when choosing what ashram one's going to be in or what varna one's going to be in, we don't just ask, what do I like to enjoy? But we can ask, what austerities do I like to perform? What austerities do I like to perform? And that's a big key to understanding where we fit. Because we want these austerities to feel pleasurable. Krishna wants us actually to feel pleasure all the time. As Prabhupada writes at the end of Bhagavad Gita, that one should experience life with a thrill, not just for a moment, but all of the time. So I do need to end in 10 minutes, but questions, comments, additions, subtractions, chastisements.
Thank you so much, Manurmula. So much about Krishna's touching on so many examples. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anybody have anything to ask? Narahari Prabhu, I see he's waiting.
Yes, Narahari Prabhu, how may I serve you?
I was going to say something.
Oh, okay. All right.
I noticed that you were speaking a lot about touch in the beginning of the class, and I was wondering where is that in the translation or in the
Sparsha.
Word? I don't see much of that.
Sparsha.
I'm trying to understand why.
The word Sparsha.
What?
So look at the Sanskrit. Sparsha. The word sparsha is touching, and if you look at the word for word, you see sparsha is touching. And the word kara, Prabhupada's translating this in the word for word, prayaha kara. Prayaha means very dear, and kara literally means hands. So prayaha kara literally means it's very pleasing to the hands. So prayakara sparshna means touching that's very pleasing to the hands. And then you have this word nirvrittihi, which means bringing pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
Thank you for your class, Mother Ramila. It's interesting that so much of the verse and purport were about the austerities that Archa, anyway, the wife of Prithu Maharaj, was willing to perform, and today is also the disappearance day of Chita Gokshore Das Babaji Maharaj, sort of epitomized austerities.
Yes, yes.
Wanted to say anything about that? Please do.
I find Gokshore Das Babaji kind of scary in terms of the austerities he did. You know, when I read about him, I'm like, oh my God! Do I have to do those kind of austerities? I mean, I felt like that when I first read about the austerities of Archie in the fourth canto, and the austerities of Madhurekshana in the Vanaprastha ashram. I mean, I read about those first when I was, I don't know, 19, 20 years old, and I really found them quite frightening. So I find Gorkha Shordas Babaji's austerities a little intimidating. And I'm very happy that Srila Prabhupada asked us just for four literal principles and a minimum of 16 rounds. I'm like, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. That's all I want to say about that.
I find it really sweet in the purport, the last line, yet because of the pleasure she derived from serving her husband, she did not feel any difficulties.
Mm.
That's just really, really sweet.
Yes.
We saw the same with Sita when she left and she went to the forest to be with Ram. Just the love. She's just such love to be with him and to serve him that no difficulties are felt. And I guess that, you know, it's very much as we're maturing just a little bit in spiritual life and we're feeling the joy of serving Srila Prabhupada and serving Krishna, it so much mitigates the difficulties that we go through in practicing spiritual life. In the beginning, it seemed like, you know, such a chore to, you know, also performing austerities and the things that we're giving up in our lives, especially in the very beginning,
yes,
giving up illicit sex, giving up intoxication, you know, things that we think of as are part of our life. But as we became attached, it's become easier and sweeter and pleasurable, the austerities that are performed in spiritual life. I just found that really touching, that this describing how she was feeling. In so many of these cases, like Sita and Devahuti, she was the daughter of Svayambhuva Manu. I mean, she lived such a life of opulence. But when she went with Kardama Muni to the forest, just because of her love for her husband, she did not feel, you know, great difficulties. So it's just, I mean, I find it.
I would like
touching
to contribute something.
Sure.
Yeah. Is that quick?
Yes.
I've read some of the experiences and pastimes that Jamuna Devi Dasi had with Srila Prabhupada, and she would spend hours, actually many times, spending hours cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and also whatever guests were there were coming to see him and hear from him. And then sometimes there wasn't any left over.
Mm.
You know, she would, you know, all the prasadam would get distributed, and she did not feel lost at all. And in fact, she didn't feel hungry. She, it was so satisfying and so pleasing to her, the service itself, that she felt completely satisfied.
Mm.
So that's an example, you know, the devotee that we know, you know, that experienced the same thing. And I've experienced that a few times too. You know, I've done some cooking and, you know, in service for the devotees, and you know, you just feel satisfied with the service, you know, and with Jamuna, a very loving service that she was giving Srila Prabhupada.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's very beautiful.
Would that also come under the category of higher taste when it says Yamparamjas Vanavarnate? Is
definitely
that what we're talking?
Definitely.
That's the definition, more or less, of it, like that?
Yes, although in one sense that's a little different, because it's related. So instead of enjoying the sense touching, I'm enjoying the service touching. So it's related to that. And you could say, you know, the sense touching simply brings me miserable, but the service touching brings me happiness. And the service touching brings me happiness, even if the externals of it look miserable. And the sense touching brings me misery, even if the externals of it look wonderful.
Very nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that out. Okay, I think we will end here. Thank you very much for engaging me in service.
Thank you so much. Wonderful class as always. See you in another week. Teddy Ball.
Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you.